This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
We're back. We're in. Are you in?
Hello.
Speak into the mic, darling.
I can't hear you. I can't. I'm not plugged in.
TJ's headphones aren't plugged in. He can't hear himself. Put it in the hole. Go on, in
the hole.
I don't normally have trouble finding the hole.
Well, you know, it is
Friday. I am today.
It is Friday. We'll give you...
There we go!
Oh, he's back! He's back in! Brilliant! Welcome, everyone. Back row and chill.
Hello, people.
It's Friday. It's Foobar Radio. It's Johanna James and Teej...
Teej World!
We're going to be bringing you today's show. We've got a jam-packed show, lots of guests. We've got entertainment news. We're going to be telling you... What is cool to watch and what is really shit to watch?
Yes, definitely. And this time we will be getting around to my Kung Fu hits.
Because TJ went, was it last week, week before, you went to Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
And so he's been culturally enlightened and he wants to tell everyone about the Kung Fu industry over there.
Yes, yes. Well, all the martial art movies, you know, the martial art do's and don'ts.
Martial art do's and don'ts. And you learned that all in how many days?
All of 10.
All of 10
no,
a day.
But I've always had a bit of a fetish for martial arts films, really.
I do like a Jackie Chan movie.
I'm a Donnie Yen fan. I do love a Kung Fu film. So we'll be getting around to that a little bit later. But we have lots of guests, lots of lovely guests in. As you know, the Vault Festival, is it on or coming up?
Oh, yeah,
there's
yeah.
lots going down, going on down there. It's a festival with lots of different theatre comedies and so on and so forth.
Stuff's
yeah.
going on.
The stuff's going on. It's a whole theatrical festival. So do look out for that. We have a guest who has a show down at the Vault. So we'll be finding a bit more out about that later on.
It's well, in London town, the weather is god awful. It is horrible. It's freezing. It's kind of that rain that just like spits in your face from every single angle. So yeah, basically it's a stay in and watch Netflix or just like leg it to the cinema and get yeah. cozy and be yes. entertained. It's not really a night for running out and about.
It's
I don't
not,
think.
It's a back row and chill day.
It is a back row and chill weekend for sure.
That's it. And remember, if you haven't got Netflix, you can always YouTube and jam.
YouTube and jam. The cheaper version. the free version, you know. Okie dokie. We're going to be announcing in the next couple of minutes the second competition winner. We are starting to run competitions here on Back Row and Chill.
Yes.
And we've been asking people, if you retweet, it's that simple. Just follow Foobar Radio on Twitter and retweet a certain...
competition tweet.
And then we're going to pick a winner, and we already have, this is our second winner, so we're going to be revealing them on the phone in a little moment.
Yes, we have another winner,
but don't worry if you didn't enter because you were a twat. You can do that again because we have a signed copy, a DVD of Brotherhood, a signed poster, and a signed album.
Album.
Soundtrack album.
A soundtrack.
You get music.
Mixtape.
A lot of music with like Stormzy on and
it's a tape. You need a cassette player.
We're giving you a mixtape and a VHS and good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck and God bless. No, we're going to give you all the DVDs and shizzles back, but only if you go to Foobar's Twitter and click that like, subscribe, whatever it is.
Definitely.
Follow.
And while we're talking of likes, follows and stuff like that, please check us out on Facebook. We've got an amazing Facebook. You can also watch stuff, so you don't just listen. You can actually
yeah.
see stuff on there as well.
You can actually see us.
Like, how amazing is that? So go to the Foobar Facebook page and hit like.
Because some people don't realise, because we are obviously a radio station, but
yes.
loads of us are outside of presenting radio. We act and we sing and we do other things. So we've started making loads more content and we're putting videos out on the Book of Face and on the Instagram. We've got comedy sketches. Me and Teej just filmed one today.
Yes, called Ra Ra Land.
I'm still in my costume. Because I didn't have time to change.
Oh, no.
Very sweaty. So, yeah, check out the Facebook pages or Johanna James Facebook page or Teej World Facebook page. We're going to be
yes.
going Facebook. But live later in the show, so get on the Book of Face if you want to see what our faces look like. There, I
yes.
thought I was going to go for something good there, but that didn't work.
No.
Okie dokie. So I've got a couple of songs from movies.
They movie themed songs.
They are definitely movie themed.
So what's the first song? Where's it from? Why is it? Why are you chosen this song?
I've started to go into like loads of different genres of movie songs. And,
oh God, not porn.
No, we've just been told that we have our competition winner on the line.
Oh!
So let's talk to him or her before we go into that. Let's have a little look. Yeah, we can announce that the winner is Carl from Stockport. Carl, are you on the line?
Carl from Stockport.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Carl from Stockport. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for entering. You have won the Brotherhood kit.
Excellent. Thank you.
Have you seen the movie yet?
No, I haven't.
Brilliant. Wow. So you can get loads of mates around or just watch it on your own if you want.
Yeah.
I've seen Kid Horde and Adult Horde.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the third and final movie. Mm-hmm. Hashtag the end.
The end, the third installment.
Yeah.
Are you going to look forward to watching that?
Yeah, yeah.
How are you going to watch it? Are you going to have popcorn or are you a crisp man? How do you watch your films?
Or an entire meal sometimes.
A bottle of wine.
A bottle of wine. Get in.
White or red, Carl?
White.
Pinot or Chardonnay?
I don't know the difference.
He's Pinot Grigio.
Yes, Pinot Grigio. Always a Pinot. Keep it crisp and fresh, mate. Keep it crisp and fresh.
Well, thank you so much, Carl. We're going to send those on to you. Thanks for entering the competition.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
We're gonna keep running that. So that will be on the way to you shortly. And give us a tweet if you'd like it, because I'm in the movie as well.
Yes.
Spot me.
Spot Johanna James.
Brilliant. All right. Have a wicked weekend, Carl. Thanks for getting involved.
You too. Thank you.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Bye. Right, that was Carl. So again, we are now ready to do the next competition. So if you want to run to our Twitter page, you can go and just simply follow and retweet the competition tweet that we're going to be putting out momentarily, and boom, you can be. That is easy as that.
Easy as that.
And we will send you the shit.
You've not got to answer a million questions. You've not got to go into a box. You've not got to open any boxes.
Give a urine sample. None of that. You
nothing,
know.
Nothing.
There's been some very illegitimate competitions I've entered. I'm realising.
Give a urine sample.
The stuff they've asked me to do.
Oh, gosh.
For PPI? What? What?
They asked you to PP for PPI. Oh, gosh, Diana.
Well, it made sense in the moment. Okay, so back to the music. So the music that I have chosen has come from unusual dance sequences in movies. Right, I'm going real like minority genre here. So
niche,
very very niche. So I've found some research like weird dance, unexpected dance moves, like sequences in movies.
Okay,
and this is Rick James, Super Freak, and it's
Rick James, bitch.
It's from Little Miss Sunshine. So I think we need to like, it's Friday. Come on, let's dance.
Friday, let's even get that Friday feeling.
That Friday funk. So come on, Rick James, woo! Super Freak. It's background chill.
Kinky. The girl's a super freak.
I really love to chase her.
should get her off the street. Blow, Danny!
She's a super freak. The girl's a super freak. I love her. I love that. I don't know whether I love Super Freak or whether I love Can't Touch This.
Yeah, I know. I just
pretty
thinking
much,
that.
It's pretty much the same
it is the
song
same thing.
Ripped.
I was thinking Ghostbusters, but I don't know why.
Ghostbusters.
I don't know why
that
I thought it was Ghostbusters.
Super freak. I'd like to challenge anyone to listen to either of those songs, though, and not move.
Yes.
That is. Have you ever done that at a party where you've put on like a song like that, and then it's the rule is it's the first one to dance loses.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So you all got to still be there, like really not moving, and it's so hard because you're hearing these like amazing beats, and you're like, oh, I just want to move my hips. And then everyone, and then because it like builds up for a couple of minutes of nobody moving. When you do get to move, everybody puts like crazy moves out, and there's all
yes.
over the shot. There's legs and arms and hips and everything. It's like.
But I think some parties now they say hipsters don't dance, eh? So they just like,
what?
Just like so stush. I hate when you go to a really cool a party and there's a really good DJ, but everyone just standing around stunting, looking cool. That's why I love a house party.
I just any party.
Any party.
I don't even have to have a drink. I'm up there.
I don't, on stage, whatever.
I don't like
going to parties and they just talk.
Oh God.
Everyone stands around talking. I hate talkie parties.
I hate small
talkie
talk.
Parties.
Especially when you don't know anyone.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, what do you do? Five hours
chatting.
Yeah. And you say you're an actor and they're like, oh, what have you been in?
Yeah.
And you're like, nothing that you'd see.
I say, your mum?
Ooh. That's probably why you don't get invited to parties, Steve.
Oh,
you're,
man.
You know, telling them that you're doing their mum. Righto, little bit of entertainment news, I think. What's going on? There's been, you know, week by week, I'm not surprised anymore when stuff
yes.
happens in the news. It's just like, oh, has it?
Yeah.
Boom. What else? Bring it on.
After Bradgelina, that's it. I just give up now. There's no hope.
Well, there's been a split, a big sort of a split. But people weren't so in love with this couple, so I don't think. But people were in love with
Who?
The girl, Kylie.
Kylie Minogue.
So Kylie Minogue.
I never knew she was even in a relationship.
Oh, yeah. She was engaged to this. I mean, he is pretty hunky. He's like this 28-year-old actor.
Shut
I know, and she's 49. I was like, go Kylie.
Go Kylie. She leveled up. She caught some more life. She caught some rings like Sonic.
Well, she actually did catch a bad fish in the end because they were like engaged, gonna get married and everything, and then obviously his profile's raised massively since he's been dating Kylie fucking Minogue,
of course,
and then apparently she's found him cheating with another actress, and so she's given him the boot and she kicked him out this week, and she's like apparently, you know,
She's mortified.
She's mortified. You know, she found the lover a lot. Well, she thought, you know, so boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo. What an epic mess up. Just Kylie Minogue, dude. It's every guy's dream,
those
man.
Those gold hot pants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she ain't. She ain't.
But in the positive spin on her dramatic month
yes.
was that she won this, like, big copyright case in America.
Really?
Because Kylie Jenner wanted to copyright the name Kylie and said that nobody else could use it because she wants to use it on like brands and I don't know, putting her name on all sorts of shit that she doesn't even make.
The fudge does she think she is?
Exactly, that's why I think that's what the judge said. So the judge said Kylie, she petitioned to say that Kylie Minogue couldn't use the name Kylie.
She's trying to get Kylie Minogue banned. Is she not? Who the? I swear that if I see this girl, oh my gosh, I'm going to set my chihuahua on her.
I know. You do that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Kylie won, and the judge were basically like, Kylie Minogue is an international artist.
Who
she
the
performs.
Fuck are you?
Yeah, like, what do
Who
you...
Who are you?
What do you do apart from grow your boobs and your lips, Kylie
yeah,
Jenner?
Yeah.
I'm calling you out.
Trust me.
Meet me. Catch me outside.
Yeah, yeah.
How about that?
Catch me outside.
I'd take her on that? Any day. Just have to pull her weave and pop her lips and she just like deflate.
Oh my God, I can't believe you went there, that little girl.
So.
Oh my god, she's actually got merch out. That the Cash Me Outside girl.
Oh yeah. So if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, one of the most things to go viral this year is this young 14-year-old girl in America. She was on Dr. Phil, and she had such a strong accent. She was trying to shout at an audience member instead of saying "Catch me outside." She was like, "Cash me outside. How about that?" And like everyone's memed it. It's gone around the internet. Everyone spoofed it. But do you know her Instagram went from 60,000 followers to 2 million followers in like a week, 2 weeks.
Swear.
She's got 2 million followers.
2 million followers. Well, I'm following the wrong... I've looked at the wrong one because I tried to find it and she's only got 200 followers.
No, that's a fake. You're following some other 14-year-old.
I tried to find the video. I was like, oh, she's only got 200 followers.
But I don't know if it's that healthy to have 2 million people follow your Instagram when you're 14 years old. Like,
yeah.
I think it might kind of... Well, I mean,
and she's going to think that she's going to ride off that forever. I can imagine that being 40. Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch me outside.
How about that?
But 19. Catch me outside. How about that? I know. It's kind of, she's going to be that one show pony. Is that, what's happening?
One trick pony.
That's
the
one.
That's it. That's it.
One
show pony.
I nearly called her a one legged pony.
She has done some sketches with, like, you know, a few teeny bopper actors from America and stuff like that. So
they're trying to like squeeze every last dime out of her.
Yeah, but I credit to her for jumping on the merch so quickly.
Jumping on their merch.
But she might get sued because she's using the champion sign.
I don't know. She's the Cash Me Outside girl.
She's the Cash Me Outside, so...
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares, isn't it?
Nobody cares.
And if you do care, catch her outside.
But you know what she'd say to the judge? They'd be like, you can't use that. She'd be like, yeah, well, Cash Me Outside.
I can imagine it going down like that. What else have we seen? What else have I seen go viral?
Viral stuff. Well, of course, the two main memes.
I like the Beyonce. That was it. They're Beyonce. They were, because she's having twins.
Beyonce's having twins.
Oh, and the memes have been absolutely hilarious. I like the one where they did her as twins. The movie, it was her and Jay-Z, and the twins film, you know, with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh yeah,
that one. Also, I saw Jay-Z in the floral thing. I retweeted that. Check that out on my
the way Beyonce announced her pregnancy. She put up a photo on Instagram of herself in a bra, surrounded by flowers, with like an old lady's net curtains on her head. That's the way she wanted to do it, and everybody just fell in love with it. And I think it's like the most liked picture on Instagram ever now.
I swear,
which is crazy. I think it's overtaken. It's overtaken Selena Gomez drinking some Coca-Cola.
Really?
Wow. What is this world? What is this world?
Selena Gomez drinking Coca-Cola.
That was the one. That was like the most viewed. And then like Taylor Swift with her rabbit or something. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
How random.
It's really random. I know. And I've taken some very good pictures of my food. And I'm wondering, why are they not the most liked thing on Instagram? Mate, I arranged those carrots. But no.
That's brilliant. No. I do love that one where they put Jay-Z in the green doily and the flowers. That's another one of my favourites as well. I enjoyed that.
Do you know that she's not the only celebrity to be having twins?
Shut up. Who else is having them?
George Clooney and his wife.
Oh my god.
They're gonna have a twin off. They're gonna pop about the same time and they're gonna have a twin off. Crazy.
It could be like Robot Wars or something like that.
I know, right? Little mini twins, celebrity twinsies. People are just popping. There are so many babies being dropped now.
George Clooney's
How old is he?
I know.
I mean, I'm not judging, but.
I know. No, but he's always. I don't remember a time where he wasn't great.
I know. George Clooney's always been about 50.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
For like 30 years.
He is.
He's been about 50. Not really.
Just.
Okie dokie. Right,
he's
so.
Brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant.
A little bit. We're about to have our first guest on the show, so I'm going to go back to another one of my random dance sequence in movies.
Okay.
Stuff. So let me have a little look, see what I've got here. Well, actually, this one is a dance sequence in a movie, but it's not actually that random because it's actually the finale of the movie.
Okay.
You know what it is. You know what it is. Can you guess?
Do I?
It's one of the best dance movies ever.
Well, that's debatable.
is it?
Yeah, because I like different stuff.
Okay,
too.
I'm gonna give you a.
If it's Footloose, I swear I'm gonna kick this table.
It is the '80s though, but honestly, this song is the sex. Have you seen the film called Crazy Stupid Love with Ryan Gosling?
No, you and this Ryan Gosler.
Because honestly, in this movie, there's a part where he says to the girl, she says, "What's your move?" What's your move? He plays this Lothario, picks up hundreds of women. She said, "What's your
Lothario,
move?"
Lothario, good word.
Mm-hmm. I've been reading my dictionary.
All right.
And he says, "Well, I played the song from Dirty Dancing and they want to sleep with me." And I was like, what? Exactly. And I was like, that ain't going to work. And then she said, that ain't going to work. And then he does it. He plays the song. He does the move. And I wanted to sleep with him. So, you know, let's play the song. I'll show you the move and we'll see what we can do.
Go.
Go. Now you know, babe.
Oh.
The time of my life. No, I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I owe it all to you.
'Cause I had the time of my life, and I owe it all to you.
I've been waiting for so long, now I finally found someone. Stand by me.
We saw the writing on the wall, and we felt this magical fantasy.
Now with passion in our eyes, there's no way we could disguise it secretly. So we take each other's hand, 'cause we seem to understand the urgency.
Time of my
though, did the move work?
Yes.
Did you like the move?
Yeah, when you explained it, yeah, it did work. I'm definitely going to try this Gosler move.
Ryan Gosling, crazy Gosler. Stupid love move. It makes any girl want to have sex with you to that song.
Exactly.
I'm going to learn this.
Right, we've got our first guest on the show. A big, huge welcome to Molly Roberts and James Cooney.
Hello.
Welcome, come in. Yeah, everyone, you can hear everyone. That's all good.
Great.
So tell us where you're from and what you're doing at the moment to our listeners.
Cool. Well, I'm Molly, and I run a company called Polaroid Theatre, and we're doing a show at Vault Festival at the moment called This Must Be the Place by Brad Birch and Kenny Ampson, which we did at Latitude Festival in 2016.
I went to Latitude 2016.
Did you?
Did you?
My first show.
My first Latitude. I didn't do the show. I was working there though.
Sure.
Is this Latitude like a festival with a difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got a cabaret tent, a comedy tent, and music, a poetry tent.
Where does it happen?
Norfolk. Oh my gosh, I should know that. Suffolk.
Norfolk. Suffolk.
Suffolk.
Yeah.
Like South London. Yeah.
It's near Norwich anyway.
South London.
TJ's from East End. He don't really go out the East End.
I don't get out of Bow much. No. I want day release to FUBAR.
Brilliant. So was that the first time that you did it as your company at Latitude?
It's the first time. We've been going as a company for 5 years, and we performed at Latitude before, the year before, with a show called Plastic by Kenny Ampson, who's one of the writers of this show. But this was the first time we'd done this particular play at Latitude. And then we brought it back.
I thought Brad Birch was the... I'm confused now.
So it's written by two writers, Brad Birch and Kenny Ampson.
Collaboration. Two of them wrote it.
Yeah.
Line by line. Line by line. Back to back.
Yeah. It's that edgy.
That's why it rhymes so much.
Yeah. And James is in the show.
Yes.
What's it about, This Must Be the Place?
How do we put it into words? James.
Go on, James.
So it's about, there's kind of two story strands. One of them features Adam, who I play.
Yes.
And Adam has like a lot of like emotional baggage that he needs to kind of sort out.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
He kind of goes on a journey to kind of figure all that out. And that's kind of his side of the story. And then the other side, we have Felix and Hamish, who play these two guys who are in this... We're not quite sure where, kind of, but how would you describe it? Like,
I don't know, this... a place trying to escape their lives and come to the city. It's about sort of millennial crisis, and as young people in our 20s and 30s, where home is and what we're trying to do with our lives, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay, so they're from outside of London and want to move to London.
Yeah, like, so Adam's story is someone trying to escape from the city, London.
Oh, escape from the city.
He kind of wants to go back. Yeah. He's like,
goes back to the country.
And he's been in London for a little while and now feels like he needs to go home.
Yeah. Okay, wherever home may be.
I like this.
So you've got two country people coming in and one city boy going out.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
along
it.
Those lines.
Boom.
Yeah. You've
in a nutshell. I should be a film reviewer.
I play Lily, who is Adam's girlfriend, trying to deal with whatever he's kind of got going on in his life and the instability of our existences as young people with no stability.
So do you direct? You run the company? Do you direct shows as well as being them, or what do you do? What's your involvement? Because you own the company, right?
Yeah. So I set up Polaroid as a reaction to kind of finishing drama school in 2011, not feeling like I had, I suppose, the right exposure for me and some of my peers, and I wanted to explore work that I thought that I would want to see and want to make. And then the company took off a lot more than I thought it would. And now we've been working with some brilliant writers, actors, directors from all over the place, like Royal Court Young Writers Programmes, Old Vic New Voices, various drama schools. Yeah. And I act professionally as well.
Yeah.
And then we work with loads of people to make great, well, we like it, good
Molly's
work.
Molly's basically like theatre superwoman. Like, she does all the producing, all the acting.
Is it?
Like,
you write the theme tune, sing the theme tune.
Thank you, James. Thank you for the
It's good. It's really good. And you can't see Molly, but Molly's really, really young. So for her to achieve all that, it's amazing. I can't believe it. Good on ya.
It's hard to put on, because I attempted with some friends to put on two plays, and we just kind of hit so many roadblocks, especially in London. It was just so pricey to get almost any corner space or get anyone to stay.
Yeah, I suppose that's what we want to do with Polaroid, particularly now. We found our focus a bit, and we want to provide the space for emerging and established artists who want to try out new work and give them a space to make sure that they can reach the next level, I suppose, which I think that's what's missing.
That's good.
For us, our age.
So does Polaroid have like a home that is like are you attached to a theatre, or do you just go into different theatres?
Yeah,
and
we
stuff
go
like
into different. We go all over the shop, really. It depends what play we're developing and where that's placed. But we've developed a lot of stuff in London, and we're supported by the Camden Collective, which is great. It's a creative space. It's kind of a big arts hub which supports creative businesses, and they give us space and offer space to operate from, which is amazing.
Yeah, you need that space, so you can't rehearse on the street.
And we're supported by the Old Vic new talent department as well, which is really helpful.
Great. Yeah. That's amazing.
That's a really cool name up there. Like,
you know.
The Old Vic. Kevin Spacey basically is my manager.
So tell us a bit more about this Vault Festival. It's a festival, a theatre festival. Where's it happening? Tell us a bit more about it.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in
it? It's at Waterloo Vaults. It started, midway through Jan, maybe? Or like, the end of January? And it goes through till, like, mid-March.
Yeah,
seriously?
Like
it's a really
weeks.
long
I thought it was
program.
Only just, like, a couple of weeks.
No, six weeks. They've been running for, I think, about four years-ish. It's run by Matt Burt, Tim Wilson, and Andy George. And they are doing such amazing work. It's like the amount of opportunities they give to emerging companies and established artists to showcase their work in such a central London space is amazing.
It's so cool, and there's parties, the bars, the bands.
Yeah. And it's such a good time of year for it as well, because it's so dreary.
Get in the vault,
it's indoors,
into the damp vault.
And sometimes I've got art and immersive stuff in there as well. I remember walking into this art space, and I was like, you kind of in the art and stuff like that. There's always something cool at the vault, right?
So it's great. You can meet amazing
comedy
people.
Comedy to drama. And,
It's inspirational.
So how would anybody... they have to Google Vault, Waterloo Vaults, and they're going to get their tickets?
Yeah, it's vaultfestival.com, and then everything is on there. And we've actually, shock horror, sold out this week for our show. But we've added an extra matinee tomorrow at 4:30.
Wicked.
Oh, for last minute people. So people get in. It's Saturday. You don't want to be outside if the weather's like this.
4:30, bars are open. Great. And they've got a big, the Artful Badger. Do you know the Artful Badger?
I know the Artful Dodger.
It's not Oliver, but
Badger.
Same person, different thing.
They're doing a really big party tonight and tomorrow. So it's their good nights come down Friday and Saturday nights.
The Artful Badger, what is that?
They're just like big party.
I genuinely don't know who you're talking about. You're looking at me like I know.
they go, like, they have, they hosted all the late night parties at Wilderness Festival.
Oh, nice.
Is it?
Yeah.
So where's this party?
At Vault.
At the Vault.
At the Vault. Yeah.
So the Artful Badger's not the place, it's the person.
It's the
people, the collective.
The event, the company, the party.
I'm confusing
I don't know.
I've heard about these. I've got a couple of friends that do them, and it's like a theatre company, but they're like an entertainment part. They do parties.
What?
So basically, it's a collective of dancers, entertainers. You might be like fire eaters or...
What?
Like, it's like a circus, and you get hired by these big events to go in, and you wear elaborate costumes, and you basically make the party atmosphere.
What?
They're amazing.
That sounds like a party I need to be at.
You need to
wait,
go.
Hold on. When's this again?
Tonight and tomorrow.
Tonight and tomorrow night.
Only.
Should we go?
How much? I don't know.
I'm not running this.
Is it?
I don't know.
I'm down for that. I want to see people.
Yeah, but make sure you come to the show.
Come to the play first.
Yeah. All that. Which one's free? I can't believe you sold out so quickly. Like, I'm saying, congratulations to
you. But it's going to be running till March, your play, or is it?
No.
How long is it on for?
We've just been doing it this week because they want to make sure that there's a lot of turnover of artists. They give kind of a week week slots
max
for everybody
to people.
But people can still get in tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow at 4:30.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh. And so did you guys meet through the company? Just sort of how did you get to be involved in the company? Because obviously you created it.
But. I think so. I did a play up in Edinburgh called Bottleneck back in 2012, and then I think Molly had heard about that through a recommendation, and then I first did a play with her called The Allotment, which was, we did like a research and development a couple of days where we ended up doing a reading of it at the Old Red Lion, right? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like an ongoing thing. And then I did Plastic last year at Latitude, and then came along with this as well. So
what
yeah.
was Plastic cool. about? I like the name of that.
I like that. That sounds
Plastic's great play. Yeah. James, you can explain that.
So Plastic's written by Kenny, who wrote one side of This Must Be the Place.
Yes.
And Plastic, again, was about four young people, looking back at a certain day in their life and how that's like affected the rest of their lives.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's great, with Kenny and Brad's writing, I think they've got such a... they're just so good at dialogue, basically. And Kenny's really? Writing is kind of half-spoken word, and it's kind of the way that it's been presented by both our directors on this show, Justin Audibert and Josh Roach. It's kind of gig style. So it's just really exciting.
Really?
And I think it should really speak to the people that it's about, I suppose, and for.
Yeah. That sounds interesting. Now you've gone in front of this banner. Now you've got me. Yeah, I'm hooked.
Because
that sounds different.
I'm more of a film actress, or film, TV, and internet. That's now a thing.
Yeah.
Internet actress. That sounds good, does it? But I did. But then I, weirdly, the other day, I just got this huge urge. I was like, I want to see a play. I really want to see something like real life that, like, we can't re-record this, or we can't edit this out or put a filter on it or whatever. I was like, I want to see.
Come and see this.
Yeah.
We want to make, fast paced, exciting, eclectic theatre that kind of blurs the line between, I suppose, theatre and gigs and parties. And yeah,
I think, again, like, what I love about Kenny and Brad's writing similarly is that it has to be seen in the theatre. You have to be there in that space, because the way that they write is so lyrical that it's actually really lovely to be in a space with lots of people and all hear that together. It's because we don't usually do that now. We don't really have any spaces where we all come together and share in a thing that is live with people on stage.
Yes.
We're always behind screens. We're always behind TV.
Because it used to be, you used to have assembly every day of your life in school. You'd always be in a room with someone. Or like back in the day, everybody went to places like churches and stuff. So you'd have this big communal thing. We don't have that anymore. Everyone's just behind the little computer screens.
Yeah.
Like,
that's so secular.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what this play particularly is about, I suppose. It's the disconnection that sort of world creates.
And what's the plan sort of after next week? Are you going to go and do more projects? Polaroid? Do they do anything else?
Yeah, well, we host, Plastic, that Kenny's of the play, that is we're hoping to tour this year. That's in development, so keep an eye out for that. Hopefully that'll come to London as well. Yeah, and then we're going to see what happens to This Must Be the Place, because it's had a lot of nice attention and buzz around it, which has been really exciting.
Brilliant.
Watch this space.
I'm watching.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, guys. It's brilliant. Thanks. Is this your first radio, or are you radio pros?
My first radio time.
Done telly interviews.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay.
Radio.
We took their radio virginity.
Thank you.
There you go.
All right.
So where can we hit you up? Have you got like a Twinstagram?
Yeah. We're not on Instagram, but Facebook and Twitter at Polaroid Theatre. Polaroid spelt with an E. Polaroid.
How did you get the name Polaroid again, Molly?
Let's not speak about that, James.
Why is it called Polaroid?
Well,
was it a typo?
Initially, could have been seen as a typo, but then, turned into a real thing. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, 5 years ago. But, we don't want to get confused between the camera, Polaroid, and
that's true. You don't want to get sued or shut down and have to rebrand.
Yeah, they might have copyrighted that name, to be fair.
It's true.
So. Yeah, so...
It was a very smart, foreseen move.
That was a smart move by Molly Roberts.
Thanks,
go
James.
Molly Roberts.
Right, we're going to go back into some music. This is from The Karate Kid. The new Karate Kid. This is one of my favourite.
Actually, Jackie Chan's good. Sorry.
Yeah, I know, right? He's great.
Yeah.
I don't mind Will Smith's little boy either. He's quite good in it.
But
this is one of the best songs for the gym, or when you're feeling motivated.
Okay.
It's called Remember the Name. It's by Fort Minor.
You ready? Let's go. need his name up in lights. He just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat or the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone, in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know him. But fuck him, he knows the code. It's not about the salary, it's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, Tox picking it up. Let's go.
Who the hell is he anyway? He never really talks much, never concerned with status, but still even in starstruck. Humble through opportunities given despite the fact that many misjudge him cause he makes a living from writing raps. Put it together himself, got a picture connects. Never asking for someone's help or to get some respect. He's only focused on what he wrote. His will is beyond reach, and now it all unfolds, the skill of an artist. This is 20% skill, 80% fear. Be 100% clear cause Ryu was ill. Who would've thought he'd be the one that set the West in flames? And I heard him wreck it with the crystal method, name of the game. Came back, dropped Megadeth, took him to church. I like Bleach, man, why you had the stupidest verse? This dude is the truth, now everybody giving them guest spots. His stocks through the roof, I heard he fucking with S-Dot.
This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
They call him Ryu, he's sick and he's spitting fire. And Mike got him out the dryer, he's hot. Found him in Fort Minor with top, but a fucking nihilist porcupine. He's a prick, he's a cock, the type women wanna be within. Rappers hope he gets shot. 8 years in the making, patiently waiting to blow. Now the record with Shinoda's taking over the globe. He's got a partner in crime, his shit is equally dope. You won't believe the kind of shit that comes out of this kid's throat. Top, he's not your everyday on the block. He knows how to work with what he's got, making his way to the top. He often gets a comment on his name. People keep asking him, was it giving that birth that doesn't stand for an acronym? No, he's living proof. Let him rock in the booth. He'll get you buzzing quicker than a shot of vodka with juice. Him and his crew are known around as one of the best. Dedicated to what they do and give 100%.
Forget Mike. Nobody really knows how or why he works so hard. It seems like he's never got time because he writes every note and he writes every line. And I've seen him at work when that light goes on in his mind. It's like a design is written in his head every time before he even touches a key or speaks in a rhyme. And those motherfuckers he runs with, the kids that he signed, ridiculous without even trying. How do they do it?
This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
Yeah. Fort Minor, M. Shinoda, Styles of Beyond, Ryu, Tox.
James on FUBAR Radio.
You're back listening to Background Chill with Johanna James.
And myself, Tej World.
TJ, aka Tej World.
Yes.
Right, talking all things sort of theatre, the Vaults Festival at the Waterloo Vault sounds awesome. We're just talking about, we really want to get down there.
Yes, there's so much going on down that place.
I love a good festival.
I've been down to the Vaults.
I haven't yet.
A couple of... Where did I go? Not last year, the year before, I think it was. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. There's just so much going on there.
It's literally the old arches.
The
kind
arches
of
by Waterloo, yeah. It's so cool. So, do go check out the Vaults, as I said, until March, and check out their play as well. This must be the place.
And, I did like a festival last year. I hadn't ever been to a festival, and I did 3 last summer.
Is it?
I just jumped straight in there. I did Latitude, Isle of Wight, and Secret Solstice in Iceland.
Secret Solstice? Mm-hmm. What's that?
Secret Solstice Festival. It's in Iceland, and it's on the solstice, the summer solstice. Which, where in Iceland, there is no nighttime for that week. So it was the daytime, which was absolute, a complete mindfuck, because it was 3 in the morning and I was coming back to my tent. Everyone, like, people were drunk and stumbling around, but it was the daytime. There was no nighttime. And trying to sleep in a tent when it's the day, because like tents, like they're so bright, you can't escape it. So I was so happy when I got back to England and it became dark. I was like, nearly cried. I was like,
darkness.
I miss the stars.
Do you feel like you should just constantly be awake?
Yeah, you do. You just kind of like, it doesn't feel like it's the evening because it's, and it's the middle of the night and there are people walking around and stuff.
This is brilliant.
But there are some really cool festivals to go to this year as well. One is Standon Calling, which FUBAR is an official partner for. It's going to be happening 27th to the 30th of July, which 30th of July is my birthday. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to send me some flowers, okay.
When's that? Say that again. When is it?
30th of July.
Okay, just there in case you didn't hear this. 30th of July, okay. Cool.
It's in Hertfordshire. It's about 40 minutes from London, so it's not fine. I have to travel the breadth of the world to get to it.
the breadth of the world.
Because you know, when you're at a festival and you just want to get home at the end of it, you're like, I just want to go home and have a bath and like sleep.
Yeah.
And like scrub my body.
You feel sticky.
You don't want to travel to, like, coming back from the Isle of Wight, you have to get like a boat and then the bus and then. You just feel like just jumping in the sea. So. But this one is not far from London at all.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And so we've got, so Orbital and Clean Bandit have been announced as headliners. My God. This is amazing. Nadia Rose, Fickle Friends. Oh, this is really, really cool.
Standon Calling.
And it's Standon Calling. So you can go to get tickets from the site from standoncalling.com. And it's a bit different to some of the other festivals because it's got, it's got comedy as well, and other like interactive things to do, not just music and burgers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
But they got a DJ set from Faithless and Jack Jones. Oh, Faithless played Isle of Wight, and that was one of the most. You know that famous Faithless song, like dun, 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 dun,
yeah.
It was like an out of body experience. There were thousands of people just raving to that song, and I felt like I've been transported back to the '90s, and I got to live it again.
Yeah,
what I missed because I was only like three when that came out.
Brilliant. Born again raver.
As a born again raver. On the Isle of Wight. So I want to go down there, mate. Just for I'm loving Jack Jones at the moment, and Faithless would be like, amazing, hot chip. This is cool.
Well, I thought Jack Jones was a YouTuber.
No, this is Jax Jones.
Jax Jones.
J-A-X. Jax Jones is the new guy who's got the number one at the moment. Uh-huh. And Jack Jones is he's a Facebooker.
Yes.
He's the guy that goes up to people and tickles them and then gets pizza thrown at him.
Yeah. Yeah, he likes putting himself in trouble.
He likes to get himself in trouble, definitely. So yeah, if you're interested in Standon Calling, get on the website and there's like early bird tickets. Oh no, they've sold out in record time. So now it's tier one tickets. But I want to go to that so much.
Delicious, it looks so cool. Big.
My God, let's do some festivals. We should do some festivals, Deej. We should.
We need to do it. I'm going to get spandex shorts on, yeah?
And glitter.
And glitter.
That's all you need to do. Just rolling glitter.
Rolling glitter, vest.
You're done.
Like, I'm going to put my short shorts on. Like, I love the short shorts in the summer. You know, like a proper 80s short.
Oh, you do, don't you?
Yes.
Hot pants.
Hot pants shorts.
Almost.
Almost. I don't mind. Get me legs out.
Get them out.
I've got sexy pins, I must say.
Well, they're very tattooed, aren't they?
Yeah, they're heavily tattooed.
So, like, financially, you should really show them off because you've spent a lot of money on your legs.
Yes, technically, sort of.
Yeah,
it was free. But
all right.
I got it done down at Dharma Tattoo. My friend is the boss there, like one of the best tattoos places in London.
That's why you got so many tattoos.
That's why I got so many.
I just thought you were loaded. Oh.
No, my mate owns Dharma Tattoos London, so yeah, check those guys out as
amazing.
Well. Tell them TJ sent you might get a discount. Not!
Maybe. What about me? Maybe me.
I'll see what I can do.
All right, okay. We've got our second guest of the show coming up soon.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to some random movie moments where you can dance in a movie where you didn't expect it.
Yeah, because you kind of threw me off there because Karate Kid wasn't a dance film, yeah?
It wasn't a dance film.
So I don't know why you went off theme, darling.
Well...
Are we moving away from dance theme?
No, we're coming back in the theme now.
We're coming back.
There was a couple of odd stragglers.
Because I started feeling weird, you know what I mean?
This is definitely from a scene in a movie where you didn't expect was coming. This is in the film Beetlejuice, and it's the banana boat song, Deo. Are you ready?
Yes, I love that film.
I love this song. Let's go for it.
Deo. Daylight come and me want go home. Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and
come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Daylight come and me one go home. 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Daylight come and me one go home.
Day is a day, oh. A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Daylight come and we want go home. 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Daylight come and me one go home.
Day is a day, is a day, is a day.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Day.
FUBAR Radio presents
The Hannah Whitten Show.
Today I have Juno Dawson.
Hello.
With me. My mum once, oh my god, she got out her photo album. Oh, sorry, mum. She got out her photo album of her gap year. So this is when my mum was like 18, 19, mm-hmm. flicking through in pictures of men. She's like, yeah, shagged him. Did him. I was like, oh, mum, no!
No! And it's like, well, you have to have therapy now.
No, it's just why I am the way I am. Like mother, like thing. Daughter. Oh, God.
Every Wednesday,
The Hannah Whitten Show,
from 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Boom! You're listening to Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Tej.
Tej in the building.
Tej World. We've Tej got World. Our second guest in the building, in the studio. It's Dan Hutton. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank
to
you for
Back
having me.
Row and Chill. We're like a film entertainment show trying to talk about what's good to see at the moment and also what's not. And you are directing a play?
Yeah, it's
at
called
this current time.
I am. Well, we've got 2 weeks before we actually start rehearsals, but we're sort of in the process of like just trying to get ready. Our heads into the thing.
Into the thing.
Getting our heads wrapped around it. And yeah, we start in 2 weeks' time, and then we go up end of Feb.
Where's the people popped on?
At the Yard in Hackney Wick.
Oh, yes, good, right? I know that. Hey, it's all right there, you know.
It's not too bad.
They throw a good party there.
They
as
certainly
well,
do.
Don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You come down to see the show and then have a party afterwards.
Oh my gosh, no, that's a really cool space.
It's good.
It's intimate, like, but I've seen like really new, different types of theatre, different. I like it because it's not your regular stuff that you get on at the Yard and stuff like that. How does your play fit in there? How's it?
Good question.
How you got it set up?
Well, it's a play about like the moment just before something awful happens. And that space does sort of really big ideas really well, because as you say, it's sort of got this beautiful atmosphere, and it's built in an old warehouse,
nice.
And so when you go in, it's sort of got this like layers of history around it, and then you watch a play there, and it's not like watching a play somewhere like a dark room where the audience, where the actors pretend that the audience isn't there. Like, you're there with the actors, and you know, they're totally in the space, and so you can explore these like massive, weird, strange ideas in a way that you probably couldn't do elsewhere.
Yeah, and have are you on the floor?
The audience?
No, I mean no. The play is on the floor, because sometimes people don't have a stage. Or you
yeah,
a stage,
so there's no stage there. But we're currently working on our design, and it may not be all on the ground.
Okay.
Is all I will say, because I don't want to jinx anything that we've already decided.
Cool.
And the play is called Big Gun.
It is. Yeah, it's a good name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't take credit for that. That's Nina's title, who wrote the play.
Nina Siegel. What else has she written? Name is sparking a little thing.
Yeah, she did a play at the Gate Theatre last year called In the Nighttime and then brackets Before the Sun Also Rises, or Before the Sun Rises.
Oh, okay.
And that was a play in a similar sort of context. It was a two-hander. That was in a far smaller space. And this sort of explodes some slightly bigger ideas.
So this is a two-hander. Big Guns is a two-hander.
It is, yeah.
Man, lady and lady?
No, what? Two women.
Deborah
and Jesse, who are both brilliant together.
How did you find them?
We'd sort of met with a few people, and they were the people who sort of stuck out and who felt really exciting to us. They've both got this amazing sort of presence, and they feel like they really respond to this like deep violence that's in the play.
Really?
In a really exciting way. Yeah.
Jessie, because I know Jessie, she's a really lovely person.
Yeah, so she's great, isn't she?
That she's violent, and she does modelling as well.
She does.
She's quite striking as well. And like for her to, it'd be interesting seeing her be violent or be like so aggressive, because she's so nice, so yeah. I can't imagine that.
Well, one of the conversations that we had a workshop a couple of weeks ago, and her and Deborah are just so lovely, and they're such wonderful souls. And then we were just sort of trying to get them to talk about these horrific things like men coming into rooms with guns, and trying to get them to feel some sort of like this, just the violence that's in there, and trying to get them to feel like they're taking ownership of this, these really horrifying ideas. Because as you say, if you're nice, it's really hard to do that.
Yeah, I really like the picture,
good, isn't it?
Of them two there. Like, it's really catching a moment there. It's like quite a cinematic photo.
The promo photo.
I don't know if you can see from those pictures you've got as well, but they're Deborah's like holding some massive sausages.
Yeah. and she's got like health juice.
Yeah,
like that.
Massive protein. Sausages. That is a massive sausage.
Yeah.
That's like party at my house sausage.
Party at my house sausage.
I got the sausage. Bring the vino. So yourself. So you. Have you done many plays before, or is this one of your directorial debuts?
Yeah, I've done a couple of shows. Nothing on this sort of scale. Like nothing in a room this big.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really exciting to do. Something in this in an auditorium where the audience sit separate from the actors, and they sit end on and they sit down in their seats, and there's this big space, because I haven't done work in really a lot of big spaces.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting to try something with a bit more room,
mm-hmm.
and that has a bit more air around it.
Yes.
Because normally I'm used to doing shows in quite smaller spaces, a bit stuffier.
Is it indoors, the odd?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so even if it rains, you can, you know, you're fine.
Yeah. It's good to help it.
Although they should take the roof off and do summer seasons.
I know. Roll it back like Wimbledon. There we go.
It's a great space. It's a great place to be around there. There's a lot happening, and quite a buzz in and around that Hackney area. There's like a few bars and restaurants and stuff like that,
and the Yard was one of the first things that was there as well, I think.
Yeah.
A few years, like a good 5 years ago now.
Yes.
About 5.5 years old, and one of the first, it was around when the Olympics park was being built,
mm-hmm.
and they needed to find some way of creating artistic spaces and for young enterprises and things, and the Yard is one of the first spaces there, and now there's this, as you say, amazing wealth of stuff there.
It's so good. So this play is two-hander, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Two-hander. What's the running time?
It's an hour.
An hour.
Without a break, or just
without a break,
just straight through.
And then you can go home, go have a pint, and then get to bed.
An hour of like tension.
That's nuts. And how long have they had to rehearse this?
We're going into rehearsals in 2 weeks time, and then we've got 3 weeks before we start,
because it's on, if anyone's interested, just like in the sound of this, it's the 21st of March is it's out. Is that right? Yeah. 21st of March till the 8th of April. Mm. Oh my goodness, it's so scary that we're talking about like those kind of months now. It's like, where is the year going?
Yeah. Where's it gone?
Oh my God, it was only just Christmas, right?
It was only just last year that Donald Trump was being elected.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, what a reminder.
But that is a good thing. If the year's whizzing by, then, you know, only 3.5 left.
if the planet's still spinning.
Yeah, exactly, if we're all still here.
If and when. But so it's like, it's the underlying sort of theme of big guns. Is it Donald Trump? Or is
Funny you should say that. Because it was really funny. Nina, I think, wrote this play a couple of years ago in its initial version. And we met up about it sort of in autumn before any of this kicked off. Although it was sort of after Brexit. And at that point, it sort of felt like a reasonably, not jolly, but at least it felt like it was sort of just about vague threat, vague violence. Mm. And then Donald Trump was elected and suddenly the play feels like it's really real again. Yeah. And like, actually, we're all scared. We feel like we're on the edge. We don't know how long the world is going to last. And this play sort of speaks to that really real threat and idea of fear that we're currently feeling.
I'm intrigued by this play. I am. I'm sitting there. I'm staring at you. I'm not staring at you because you're weird, but I'm just like, it's interesting.
Yeah
you've got me hooked.
There are questions that have been asked that I need answers to.
I
understand what you mean about that. Like, at the moment, everyone sort of had a bit of a joke about Donald Trump and a bit of a joke about this, and then it's like we're sort of sitting there laughing, like, that's not funny. And then the other day, when Russia announced that they were going to decriminalise beating up your wife. And
what?
Battery within the family is completely, you're not going to get.
It's okay.
Totally fine.
No, illegal.
It's like going, it's like backwards steps to, which is just terrifying.
And the fact that at the heart of them, there's this like bubbling sort of violence in that case, for example. And the play speaks to this as well, of the fact that there is in some relationships a real fear of violence that some people may fear. And all of us just going around on daily lives, we might feel like we're scared in a way that maybe we didn't before.
I was deeply affected, and I remember saying to my boyfriend, like, I'm really actually quite scared, like, it's actually happening. And he was kind of like, oh no, nothing, don't worry, it won't really affect
it won't
you
happen.
And then he went and did the Muslim ban. Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend's from the Middle East, and I was like, well, we're not going to America, are we, babe? And like, I've got loads of friends from like Iran and
It's crazy.
So actually, people saying, oh, Donald Trump doesn't affect you. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does, it does.
Totally.
And I mean, I read somewhere, I don't know how true this is, but I read somewhere that Russia are going to do a real life battle royale.
No.
Swear down.
The Hunger Games has begun.
Yeah.
It's happening.
If you don't know Battle Royale, before the Hunger Games, there was Battle Royale, a Japanese film, really good. The American remake is crap. Don't watch that. But I say that because it's about like how, if that is to be true, you know, where's the world going with violence? Saying about this, like violence becoming so acceptable in today's world, and also like you fed it all the time. I mean, it kind of desensitizes.
And we see it in films all the time.
Yes, and I see you talk about it like it's the violence in TV and cinema is discussed, and in politics and stuff like that. So are things like that all addressed in there?
They sort of all are sort of they're all somehow mentioned, or that we feel that they're there. Like, I've been watching dozens of horror films over the last couple of months. At one point I was doing sort of one a week of just watching horror films. Because they're about tension and threat, right? Mm. Horror films are sort of, you watch them and you're like, oh, I'm waiting for the violence to happen and I know it's going to happen.
It's the expectation.
Exactly.
Of a tickle. That is why you have a tickle. Do you know what? Because the actual someone touching you isn't tickly. It's someone going, I'm going to... So it's like a psychological thing.
It's true.
As well as a physical.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I like your thinking.
I hate horror movies, but a sound guy once told me a secret, and he said that what they do is they will remove the sound before a big jump, so you know when something's coming when it goes silent.
Yeah.
They will take the sound away to make the even bigger. So the fact that he told me that, I just listen and I go down when it's quiet and I know it's coming. I'm just going to stay down here.
And you might even wait. You might know that the jump's coming and you just sort of hide away, and then it doesn't come, and then you open your eyes again, and then 10 seconds later then it comes.
Well, this is brilliant. And so did you come from an an acting background, or were you always a director, or like?
Yeah, I definitely didn't come from an acting background.
Oh, you didn't.
I definitely can't do that. I've been directing for the last few years, really.
How did you get? Did you just going? Oh, I'll take a whack at that. Like,
yeah, exactly. It was sort of when I was. I think it was actually when I was at school. I first had the idea, and then when I went to uni, I auditioned for something, and everyone else in the room was just so good at acting, and I was like, well, I can't. I'm shit at this. So I'll tell them what to do instead.
That sounds all right. I think. I'm still working it out. I haven't realised how shit I am. I'm joking, I'm joking. But no, that's so cool. Do you ever think that as a director you should be able to experience acting, like, because so you know how your actors feel?
Mm.
But I think some directors who have acted, they have a different way to a director who's just directing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Well, I work with a company called Barrel Organ as well, and we made a show a couple of years ago called Nothing.
Yes.
And in that I perform, but I feel like I'm not really acting in that. I'm sort of working as like someone who's just saying lines to an audience, but that's a really helpful thing, because we have to negotiate those things with an audience, and so you better understand how to ask an actor to make certain choices if you've, as you say, had to be on the receiving end of
been
those things yourself.
On the spotlight. It's very testing and...
Yeah, it's hard. They're extraordinary. Actors are just extraordinary people, and it's...
Well,
I mean,
thank
I
you. Oh, you're full of compliments, you go, see, aren't you?
No one did.
I like you. You can come again.
It's crazy how the different spectrum of directors, I think they're crazy. You can get one that will... you could get the same script, and you could get two directors probably doing the same play in the same space, and you'd have two completely different... That's how different...
It's so true.
With the same actors and everything, and you'd have two completely different things.
Absolutely.
So true.
And it feels odd, because if everything you do is a choice... So, for example, this play, when written, wasn't necessarily to women, but we sort of decided, you know, there feels like an interesting story to tell there, because they're just called, the characters are called One and Two, and as you say, like,
that's
every choice that
names.
You made, yeah, the characters are called One and Two.
Serious?
Yeah.
Well, 11 was taken by Stranger Things.
Yeah, exactly. Can't go that high, so and then you have to miss out, you know. You have to go straight to 12.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
So they're called 12.
They're called 12. Yeah. Together. That's their celebrity. Their celebrity name. The is 12.
Yeah. The celebrity relationship name.
Yeah, exactly.
I quite like having numbers for names. I used to.
I don't know how I feel about that on my CV. I played number one. Yeah, and I played number
two. Listen to what you said. No. You want to be number one, right? Number two, you have something to complain about. But
yeah. I mean, unless you're R2-D2. But at least that's got some letters in there.
Yeah, true.
I had a friend who we used to, instead of discussing his ex's name, we didn't call them by name. We just called them by the amount of years they were together. So I was like, oh, you saw six. Oh, it has four. And like,
what would be good is if they were numbered by the exes that you had sort of previous. So the first boyfriend was number one. Second one was number two. And then it goes, and then you're like, you know how high it is that it's like, oh, yeah, how's 25?
25
is good. Yeah. Oh, you just bumped to 53. Yeah. You'd just be there like, oh, my goodness.
Good.
You're only 22. How did you get the money?
Oh, mate, that's crazy.
But the number game.
That's crazy.
We've all played the number game.
Yeah.
What's your number?
Numbers. There aren't enough numbers in the world. Okay, so moving on swiftly.
Brilliant. So just to rehash, if anyone's joined us, we're talking about Big Guns.
Big Guns.
Not the actual guns, the play, which is going to be on at the Yard Theatre in Hackney.
We're in with the director, the bad man himself. All right, he's been watching lots of horror films.
Lots of horror films.
And what do you have any sort of plans after? I don't know, at the moment you haven't started this one, but have you got any sort of goals for 2017?
Kill Donald Trump when he comes to the UK. No. I can't say that on air.
You can. Fuck it. Kill him.
He's gonna get egged, isn't he?
He's gonna get egged.
He gets egged.
I'm doing a show with Barrel Organ, actually. We're doing one that later in the year that we don't quite know where it's going to be or when it's going to be yet, but we're working on it at the moment.
But we're going to do something.
Yeah, we think at the moment it's called Anyone's Guess How We Got Here. It's sort of about debt and childhood and nostalgia.
Everyone can relate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More depressing
themes. We've all been children and we're all in debt.
Yeah, it sounds cheery, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Don't respond to the world.
No,
we're
going
to pop to some music, and then maybe we're going to play a little game afterwards just to end on a high. So
yes.
I'm going to pop to a little song. I'm going to go for, because today I'm picking music majority that has been in an unsuspecting dance sequence in a movie.
So, I've heard.
I'm going to go for The Mask, and this is Cuban Pete.
Cuban Pete, I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play the maracas, I go chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom. Yes, sir, I'm Cuban Pete. I'm the craze of my native street. When I start to dance, everything goes chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom. The señoritas they sing and they swing with their ombrero. It's very nice, so full of fight. And when they're dancing, they bring a happy ring that I can't. And I teach you to chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom.
He's a really modest guy, although he's the hottest guy in Havana, in Havana.
See, senorita, I know that you would like a chicky boom chick. It's very nice, so full of spice.
I place my hand on your hip, and if you will just give me your hand,
then we shall try. Just you and I. If you like the beat, take a lesson from Cuban Pete. And I'll teach you to chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom, chick chicky boom.
I love that film. So now
that movie is absolutely amazing.
The Mask. I love Jim Carrey. Well, I don't love him now personally because of what's gone on recently, but I love his old movie. I liked him in the 90s.
What's happened?
What happened?
Oh my gosh, so his ex-girlfriend committed suicide and she wrote in the letter it was because he had given her a load of STIs on purpose. Mm. He knew that he had like hepatitis C and all this sort of stuff, and he cheated on her and he gave it to her, and she obviously was a bit fragile, and she committed suicide and put it on the letter that it was fault. I was like, well, that's a bit of a nasty move.
What?
Don't give your girlfriends STIs. Come on,
Jim Carrey. Okay, that's it. Childhood ruined. That's it now. You like someone and then you hear something bad.
The Grinch, Dumb and Dumber.
You know what I mean? Now, I just hope that, the Chuckle Brothers.
I hope they're not pedos.
I didn't want to say it. I hope they don't play the fiddle. But okay. So.
Right, we're going to play a little game quickly. Well, still got Dan on air. So we're going to play Guess That Soundtrack. So as long as the technology keeps up with me, I'm going to be playing you little clips from movies. And each of you just make up a buzzer.
You choose yours first.
Okay. Commit to that.
That's
I've got to beat that.
So it can be anything. Brilliant. So if anyone thinks they know it, just do your buzzers.
Okay.
And I'll score which ones. Okay. So coming up.
Reminiscing this and that and having such a good time. Oodle lolly, oodle lolly, golly, what a day.
Yeah.
Is that like Song of the South?
No.
No, it's a Disney film.
Yeah.
Never dreaming that a scheming sheriff and his posse was watching them and gathering around.
Robin Peter Hood. The Dragon.
It's Robin Hood.
Robin Hood.
Oh. Robin Hood. Oh my god, Robin Hood. Of course.
Oh my god, that's one of my favorites.
I feel like I've disappointed.
Number two.
I'm so disappointed. I didn't get that. I knew it. I said when I
see an elephant. Yeah,
Dumbo.
Yes.
Oh, what?
1 point to Dan.
Thank you very much.
Damn. All right,
when
cool.
When I see an elephant flat. Right, number three. Are you ready?
What?
Oh, he got in there. Oh.
Aladdin.
Yes. Second
That's
to Dan.
That's not fair.
You got to get in there with your buzzer.
I'm testing it. It works now. Okay, cool. All right.
Have you seen the meme? It's like, I'll show you the world apart from America.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's funny, but it's funny.
Hey.
Number four.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Frozen.
No.
Beauty and the Beast.
No, you can't just hazard guess.
I'm not.
Listen to the words.
It's a Disney movie.
Of course. It was Hercules.
Oh.
I knew that. Yeah. I know. I didn't.
Right, number five.
I didn't.
He's got
I didn't.
Meow.
Yeah. Dan's got three.
Come on. Sabotage.
Right.
It's a problem for you.
I love this one.
Such a good song.
Cool.
Number six, we're on now. You can still catch up. Yeah.
Not Wind in the Willows.
No,
what's it? The one where she wears the white dress thing.
The clue is
Bang Bang. Bang.
No, what's about a dream? It's Sleeping Beauty.
Oh man, I'm so not good at this.
If she doesn't, 101 Dalmatians.
Yes, Dan is coming in.
Damn, I'm starting to.
I forgot to.
Buzz in. I was like singing along. Just singing along. It.
Okay, I haven't seen 101 Dalmatians in so long.
Yeah, me neither.
Right,
the film and the cartoon's good.
Number eight.
Snow White.
No, Pocahontas. Pocahontas.
Why is it Snow White? Of course, yes, it's Pocahontas. Give that to Dan. Fine.
Thank you.
Damn.
This is great. I love this game.
I don't like this. Chipmunks.
No.
Cinderella.
Yes.
I don't know it. Was that with the mice?
Yeah.
I can see it now.
I'm losing any credibility I ever had. Just getting all the Disney.
I wish I had little mice to help me get ready in the morning. It'd be brilliant.
I don't know if you would.
Number 10. Yeah.
Mulan.
Yes.
What is it?
Mulan.
That film's wicked. I'm getting in there. I've got none.
This is voted one of the best gym songs you can ever have.
Yeah, I can imagine.
What?
Great.
Just like proper punchy song.
Amazing.
Do you reckon?
Last one.
Go on then.
Little Mermaid.
Dan, you are the winner. You have got 8.
Thank you very much.
And
I got diddly squit.
Yeah, you kind of did. Sorry there.
Man.
Oh, sorry.
Damn.
I apologise.
It's okay, babe.
Next time.
Maybe next time. You've got to go and do your homework. It's all right, babe. It's all right. Thanks. Well, well done, Dan. That's like a top score.
Great.
For the Disney quiz.
Chuffed with that.
I'm going to go away and try and find some more for next week.
Yes, thanks
so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to pop away now to another song. What we're going to do? I think we're going to go for a bit of Chris Brown popping.
Yes, this is for my favourite dance film, Stomp the Yard.
Stomp the Yard, which is, that ties in really amazing with where your play is, the Yard.
At the Yard.
Stomp at the Yard. Big Brilliant. Guns. Make sure you go and see it. Big Guns down at the Yard. Thank you so much,
Dan. This is Back Row and Chill.
What your name is? Oh yeah, that pretty girl. Tell me where you headed. Can I walk with you, girl? You got that look in your eyes that look like it give your boy here a good old time, and I'm on it, girl. That's right, I'm on it, girl. See, this is the first time I had a girl whose looks had me on fire. I'm really trying to get to know you better, girl. You ain't gotta act like a shy.
Cause we gon' do something is gon' get done. And we gon' get
crunk
and have a lot of
fun. And I say,
she wearing her hair, she breaking them jeans. She talking that talk just like I like it. She keep it on and
popping. Shawty keep it on and popping. Ooh, yeah.
tell you, yeah. I'm trying to keep my swagger, but you're about to have me, girl. Jump through about 4 or 5 hoops of ooh, baby. Let's take it to the hood so the people can see you, girl. Oh, yes, you're mean and vicious the way you're switching. Now I say, this is the first time I had a girl whose looks set me on fire. I'm really trying to get to know you better, girl. You ain't gotta act like you're shy.
Cause we gon' do something is gon' be done. And we gon' get
crunk
and have a lot of
fun. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
She wearing her hair, she working the me. She talking that pump just like I like it. She keep it on and
poppin'. Shawty keep it on and poppin'. Ooh, yeah.
Shawty, shawty, the way you wearing that top got your boys so hot. Ain't no mistaken plan or faking. You got me open and waiting
and poppin'. You keep me on and poppin'. Ooh,
shawty, shawty. She wearing her hair, she working in me. She talking that talk just like I like it. She keep it on and
poppin'. Oh, poppin', yeah.
With Back Row and Chill, Johanna James
and Teej World.
Teej World, filling in for Noel Clark today. Right, so well, that was amazing. We've had a lot of thespians in the studio today. A lot of thespians.
Yes, we had a lot of thespians. Looking at you like, why thespians?
Well, a lot of theatre. I call theatre actors thespians.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I do.
You're very wordy today, Johanna. I have been reading. Yeah,
I've been reading a bit, learning the ABCs.
Finally, got your head out of a Now magazine.
Finally, you know, just like off the book of face and finally read something valuable. Right, we have our next guest on the line. So, if technology lets us speak to him, we've got Connor McNeil, who's starring in the film The Party, and he is BAFTA nominated.
BAFTA nominated.
Let's see if Connor is. Is there? Let's have a look.
He is here, yeah.
We can hear you. Brilliant.
Yeah. Hello, Connor.
Hello, hello.
And congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks a million.
A BAFTA nomination. Wow. So you're going to be there on Sunday, are you?
Yes, I am indeed, yeah.
And have you ever been before to the BAFTAs?
No, first time.
Oh, BAFTA virgin.
First time.
Nervous and excited at the same time.
Oh, my gosh. What are you going to wear? Shorts or a suit?
A kilt maybe? I don't know. I'm wearing like a nice dapper black suit.
Ooh-wee!
That talks from Advani.
Did you get given one? Or you?
Yeah.
Someone gave you one. That's what it's all about. You have to give it back though, don't you?
I think so.
That's not fair.
It's a rental. It's all right.
Don't worry about it. Get as much pictures for the gram as you can.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So you're starring in the film The Party. Is this the film that's been... Oh no, it's the short film that's been nominated.
I'm not starring in it. I wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it.
I'm an actor as well, but I wrote the party.
Ah, you straddle both sides. I see.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. So you nominated as an actor or as a writer?
The film's nominated as a whole. Like
as a whole thing. I created the whole. Wow.
And what's it about, the party? I'm assuming a party.
Yeah, it is about a party. It's about a party in 1970s Belfast.
Wow.
Where a young man's on the run, and he brings back sort of... He comes back from being on the run to party with his family, and it ends not so fantastically.
Why the 70s? That's a cool era.
Why the 70s Belfast? Because I think we have an image of what Northern Ireland was in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And about what the conflict there was like, and we have a sort of, you know, big scary men in balaclavas, and actually the reality of it is you've got an incredible amount of young people were involved in that period of time, and so I wanted to write something that was like Skins but set against the backdrop of the conflict, because that's how young people were living back then.
I love that. I love 70s Skins.
Are you
called Flares?
Where can we see this film, huh?
So Curzon Online are doing all the BAFTA shorts. They're screening them all at the minute, so you can catch them on Curzon Online. So like
Curzon, good.
Online.
And they're doing a few. I can't remember what cinemas off the top of my head, but they are doing a cinema tour at the minute as well.
Yeah, probably
cool. In the ICA.
Yeah,
I know that.
Probably the main, checking out the main Curzons. Oh, there's a new Curzon in East London.
No,
in Old Gates just opened, and then there's obviously Shaftesbury Avenue, the main one.
Yeah,
East London's my neck of the woods. Do you come to London much?
I live in London,
You do live
in
London.
I'm an East Londoner, essentially. I've been an East Londoner for like about 4 or 5 years now.
Woohoo!
Wow! I live in East London. Let's be friends, dude.
Write more small BAFTA film.
Yes.
And so how did you get it? Did you write and then act, or did you act so much that you wanted to write your own stuff?
I've been acting for a very long time. I'm sort of since I was 14, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had a story to tell, so I wrote it. I wanted to, and... with the party, a friend of mine's a producer. She wanted to work with me. We just sort of knocked about a few ideas, and the party was the one that came out of it.
So brilliant.
And then we're here a year and a half later, or maybe 2 years later, we're here.
Wow. I mean, it does
take
that amount of time, doesn't it? From writing to production to... And how
exactly,
did you
yeah.
how did you get funding and find funding? Because I find that's also really hard. So there are some amazing ideas and stories to be told, but it's really hard to get through.
It really is. And we were kind of incredibly lucky with ours, because the Irish Film Board had an incredible initiative that was to commemorate the independence of Ireland. And we... went through that scheme, so they were looking really unique stories that identified the island as a whole, you know. So we just got really lucky. We entered into it. It was kind of like a lottery, to be honest. And they gave us the money, so it was pure potluck. But it is a difficult, like, I have lots of mates trying to make sure. It's a hard thing, and I think a lot of the time you have to kind of do it off your own bat and get out there and just beg, borrow and steal
equipment
and stuff like that, you know.
And end up at the BAFTAs. I mean, this is like a little mini story in itself. You can make another movie about the making of the party and then where it goes. So is this story staying as a short, or like a lot of shorts then get sort of, they get written as a taster of an expansion that could be made? So could the party be extended?
It could be, and it was never a massive plan at the beginning, but it's starting to maybe become more of an idea that's growing slightly more, because there is a huge scope. I mean, I think one of the reviews said both sides of the story is really interesting, the beginning, what happened before, but also what happens after, so it's about finding what that story is, I suppose, but there's definitely room for maybe doing that, but nothing immediate at the minute.
I love... I guess it's still cool period drama if it's not modern. I absolutely love it. Anything in the sort of because even if you only knock back to the 80s or something, it is still so different, just like politically or
it's so cool as well. Like, even just like, we had to find, and it was quite difficult for Andrea, the director. She had to find a street that didn't have satellite dishes, that didn't have, you know, like,
that was an original
street that looked like the 70s, but they made it look incredible, and the costumes and the soundtrack, everything was so cool. It was good fun from that side of things.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Was it hard to you have exterior shots, right?
Yeah.
Or is it all shot indoors? Is it
there's a good few exterior shots.
So was it hard to make the outdoors look 70s, you know?
Yeah, big time. Because everyone has a sky dish, you know, everyone has like a different thing. It was fine, and we managed to find this street that just worked. It was, but it was a our locations person, just done an amazing job. Okay. But then even one day we were filming and there was a house having a full blown rave going on, playing proper like heavy techno music.
And you're like,
and we're supposed to be shooting a thing in the 70s.
Excuse me, could you possibly play some Queen or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh gosh, how crazy! And what about like cars going by? Like you see like a what's it called? A hybrid car going.
Yeah, exactly.
A smart car just rolling.
Rolling through like.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, amazing. Well, this sounds really exciting. So people can go and they can check out Curzon and they can be watching, obviously they'll be watching the BAFTAs.
Brilliant.
And you're going to be there. Have so much
That's
fun.
It.
That
I'm
sounds
there, yeah.
So exciting.
Dude, are you going to be writing any more films? Now you've done this, do you think this will be like a gateway into writing like a full-length feature film?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have another feature, sort of modern day that's in development at the minute, which hopefully we'll be shooting later in the year.
Perfect.
Oh, so you've got one lined
nearly,
up?
Nearly there, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
go, dude.
Connor.
Go you,
Cheers,
Connor.
Guys.
And if anyone wants to check out your socials and stuff, where would they find you? Are you?
I'm on Connor McNeilio, just my name and an I-O at the end on Twitter. And then
Connor McNeilio.
Instagram.
Oh.
And all that.
Well, cool. Thanks so much for talking with us and have all the
Amazing
best.
Cheers,
fingers
guys.
Crossed. Oh,
Connor.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
We're going to go for a beer to celebrate since we're both living in East London. How about
Indeed.
That?
Indeed. All right. Definitely, let's do it.
Sweet, congratulations, buddy.
Oh, wait. Bye, Connor, thank you. Wow, he's off to the BAFTAs.
Cool.
I can't believe the BAFTAs are already.
I can't believe they're already. And we had, who did we have? What's his name again?
We had the head of the BAFTA film committee.
Come in, and I'm trying to look for his name. Anyway, he promised us a ticket.
Maybe we should just roll up. Just roll up.
I'm just going to roll up. I'll be like, yo.
Yeah, we know the BAFTA guy.
Yeah.
Jim Bradshaw, that was his name.
Jim Bradshaw, that's it. Jim Bradshaw. Dude, I want my ticket. Otherwise, me and Johanna are gonna come there and gatecrash it. Yeah?
Gatecrash.
We're gonna roll up like Kanye West did at the Thingy Awards. Yeah, when he had all the hoodlums come on.
He wasn't invited.
No. Oh. No, Kanye West, he did that show and then he had all the people dressed in black, all the UK rappers just come on and whatever. So I'm going to roll through like that. We're going to just have
we'll
a
just
big squad of people dressed in black.
Let's find matching suits and let's do it.
Probably ninja suits.
Right.
Let's wear ninja suits.
So, the song that I've next chosen is from the 70s. Weird.
Is it?
Whoa!
I like how you linked it.
Right, this is Queen, We Will Rock You, also appearing in the film A Knight's Tale. This is Background Chill. We've got Lucy Patterson coming on, and we're going to give you the most up-to-date film reviews that we possibly can right next.
Make a big noise playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place, singing, We will rock you. We will rock you. Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street. Gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. We will rock you. Sing it! We will rock you. Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes. Gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face, big disgrace. Somebody better put your bag into your place. We will rock you. Sing it. We will rock you. Everybody, we will rock you. We will rock you. All right.
Oh, it's finished. Okay. Well, that was one of my favourite Queen songs ever. Also, Good
choice. Lucy Patterson's back in the studio. We've got film review section. We're going to be talking all things film. What's coming up? What's coming out?
I want the world to know.
Got to let it show.
Right, brilliant. Okay, what have we been seeing and reviewing, and what's good? What's the word on the street?
Right,
the down low.
Well, I'd like to say, like, last year was a good year for kids' films. So,
yeah.
And we were talking Disney films earlier in our game and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to give you my rundown of the greatest kids' film that I think that came out. And a lot of them aren't just for kids, there's just some of these for adults, I think.
You found a lot of them are funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's adult humour in it.
I love exactly. animation.
Yeah, animations, too. Definitely. So, obviously, there was Fantastic Beasts. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Absolutely, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
We also had Angry Birds. If you haven't seen Angry Birds,
funny.
Go and see Angry Birds. It's not even a kid's, it's an adult film.
And
yeah.
also, the soundtrack's
so funny.
Amazing.
It's sick.
Good,
that film is bad.
Yeah, really ass. Good.
If you like the game, you'll absolutely love it. And even if you don't, it is so bloody funny, yeah. that film, yeah. The life and the character, you believe them.
Totally.
I know, so that's a great one. Storks wasn't too bad as well.
Storks is really
Storks
good.
Hilarious.
Yeah,
I'm stupid. But no, amazing.
I want to watch Storks, but I haven't. Is it out yet?
Yeah, it's been out. Gone, done.
No, I mean, like, is it all out
on
DVD?
It's coming on Sky soon, so DVD's probably imminent.
Yeah, because I can't. The only version, like, cause I missed it at the cinema, and I couldn't find a really bad. Download version. I was like, nope, not doing
no,
that.
No, don't do that. Don't download
we
films,
don't download
guys.
Films.
We don't do that.
We don't download.
We don't do that. All right. Also, Cubo. What's
that?
That's
is that the two strings thing?
Yeah, basically, it's like a. It looks like a stop motion animation. Yeah, yeah? It's like based on like Chinese. I think it's
like
Chinese
an anime
mythology
type thing.
Yeah, it's, yeah. No, it's not. No. Not anime. It's
actually just said stop motion as well. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up,
so man. It's really good. It's really good. It's very stylized. The style of it is really good. It's like a about, you know, Far East mythology and stuff like that. But it's a really lovely film.
Yeah.
It's sad, but really entertaining, and it's artistically beautiful. Like, I've not really seen any animation
it's
like that.
It's called Cubo.
Yeah. Cubo. Yeah, it's K-U-B-O.
Mm-hmm. Cubo.
So go and see that. Obviously, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Oh, I saw that.
I didn't actually see that.
You did?
I saw it twice, because I saw it, I reviewed it, and then I took my little sister who wanted to see it.
It was good. It was good. I really enjoyed it.
It was quirky.
I struggled to follow it.
Well, it's time travel, Teed. You would have problems.
So I was like, I don't know, but I like it as well. It was.
Yeah,
I understood it
more the second time I watched it, because it's very weird and it's all about time travel. And these children, really weird children, they live in 1943 or 2.
And they're stuck in a loop.
And they're stuck in a time loop. So they live the same day over and over again because a bomb from the war was going to drop on their children's homes.
Yes.
So in order to save them, they can live in a time loop. So they get to go outside and they watch the bomb drop, and then the time loop stops and it goes back, and then they start
clever.
The day again.
Yeah, clever.
So they do the same day again and again and again and again, Groundhog Day, until this boy turns up in 1942.
Yes.
And
everything
changes everything.
It's so good. I say go and see that, yeah. So they're my recommendations for kids' film, because it was absolutely brilliant. And also check out Mona. Mona's good.
I've not seen that yet.
People are hit and miss with it.
What's Mona?
No.
Remember
that. I know.
Moana, sorry. It's like it's kind of like a New Zealand Maui based on that mythology.
It's the new Disney.
The new Disney installment, Maui.
With Rock, isn't
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Yes, I think, he's involved in producing or something like that as well, supposedly. He was heavily involved in that. It's a really good film. People are hit and miss. They're saying it's not traditional, but it's fun.
But then they've got to go away from tradition at some point, or they'll be making the same stories over and over again.
Frozen 59.
Yeah, exactly. And they're saying that, you know, like the mythology isn't bang right, you know, but it's a cartoon. It's not meant to be.
Does it really matter?
That's what I'm saying. It's fun.
Yeah, the historical accuracy on most Disney movies is not right.
Exactly, exactly. So
it's a story.
It is fun. So do go check that out. But I highly recommend Angry Birds. Do go and see that. If you're feeling miserable, go and watch that. So that's my review for kids' films. Okay, guys?
Cool. Lucy, what have you been seeing this week?
Well, I as we said before on the show, I tend to find somebody that catches my eye and then stalk them all the way back through their filmography and things like that. So my latest My latest stalkie was George Webster.
Okay.
You may have seen him in Versailles, in My Name is Emily, Tripped, that little miniseries that was on E4.
What's his name?
George Webster.
I've seen Versailles. Who did he play in Versailles?
William of Orange, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He, in 2013, made a film called Further Ed. He wrote, directed it, looks like he got his friends to star in it. It's him, David Fricker and Sophie Reed. It's about two university students who... to make some money, decided to make their own LSD in a bathtub. Now, that alone, I was like, this sounds amazing. And I found it on Amazon Instant Video.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Prime member, I watched it for free. It's only 90 minutes long, and it is every bit as ridiculous as it sounds. Mm. And you can tell that it was made for about a fiver, but that is why it's so charming.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. You know, it's like British humour at its best. It's there's C-bombs dropped everywhere. There's, you know, full frontal nudity, and there's sex jokes, and this, that, and the other, you know. And it's just a real... charming film and hilariously laugh out loud funny. Bit of animation going on in there as well, and bravo to him for getting it made. I mean, yeah, he made it in 2013 and it's now 2017, but you know, people find it on Amazon and watch it.
Yeah.
It's really, really funny. A lot of people say, oh, you know, it's laugh out loud funny, when really I'm sure they probably didn't laugh at all.
Yeah.
But this one I was actually cracking up on my own in the living room.
What was the name of it again?
Further Ed, it's called.
Further Ed. Yep, not Father Ted. Further Ed.
It's very good.
I can't find George, so I've found Curious George. I can't find that. Trying to get his face.
George Webster.
George Webster.
Yeah.
This week, I started to... I was like, let me check out the Netflix scope. Yeah. And I started watching Santa Clarita Diet.
Yes.
And it's very weird because I saw the adverts and I was like, what in the world is this? Mm. Is this woman who's like all this blood and she's eating body parts? I was like, this does not look... Okay, let me check this out. I need to have an opinion on this. But I found myself really enjoying it. And I wanted to watch the next one and the next one and the next one, and I watched the entire series.
Did you? Yeah. I only got up to 5 because I fell asleep.
But they are very small. They're only 25 minutes per episode, so it's really easy to just like get through.
Yeah.
But basically the premise is, it's just so wacky. It's like this woman who, with her husband, and she's got a teenage daughter, she is a realtor and she's showing the people around this beautiful house, and she suddenly starts vomiting up her entire guts over the whole house.
What?
And then, you've never seen like
so
it.
Much vomit. And then she dies, and then she instantaneously comes back, and she's an undead, but she's not an undead zombie as in like in the movies where they're like,
ugh. Yeah.
She still looks the same. Yeah. She doesn't quite act the same because she like lives it really impulsively, like she loves life.
Mm.
But the only problem is that she now can't eat food, and she has to eat raw meat and humans.
So her
husband and her teenage daughter decide they're going to help her in killing people so they can keep feeding her while they're looking for a cure. It's that wacky.
That's why I love it that much.
It's so wacky. But they take it with serious. And do you know what? The best thing...
Is it a comedy or
horror? Yeah, it's a total comedy. Yeah. And the best thing about it, I think, is the guy who plays the husband.
I love him.
I think he... I don't know. I haven't seen him in anything before that I recognise. And he is... brilliant. And Drew Barrymore plays the main woman, and she holds her own.
Mm. Oh, she's the undead woman.
She's the undead.
Oh, yeah. I like a bit of Drew Barrymore. I do.
Yeah, and so she plays the mum, and zombie mum. And I just love it. I think it was so wacky. And I thought this on a script, I imagine this script would have been turned down 1,000 times.
Because
it's just like, she vomits over the room and then she saws off the neighbour's leg and then, you know.
She eats his fingers and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. She eats them like finger snacks. finger snacks.
Gosh.
But it's so kooky and yet it's like modern, and the references and stuff it's really, really fast paced.
And it's so bright and colourful and lovely. Like, I've seen like suburbia and all the sunshine and everything, and she's just eating people. It's so eclectic and weird. I just love it.
I need to see
it's comedy. Yeah. It's just like a roll-on-roll comedy. So Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. So if you've got Netflix, it's just... It should be... They're really pushing it at the moment. That's why I saw it. Because I saw saw loads of adverts for it, but I really recommend it because it was just really weird and funny.
I'm gonna go and watch that. You should.
Yeah, Santa Clarita. Just get through the. We didn't even have to get through the first episode. Like the OA, I found that on Netflix, you had to really get through the first episode to then.
I didn't make it through.
I know. Exactly. You fell at the first post, mate.
Oh, it's just one of the loveliest things ever. The OA.
I love the OA, but Santa Clarita to Die. I'm sad that I whizzed through.
Is it a series?
It's a series.
There's
10, yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah. 10-25 minutes.
Yeah.
I hope that there better be a second. Although they
left. It's got to be.
I'm down for it. And is Drew Barrymore really good? She's not good, failed.
But she's good. But she's already got her comedy like badge. She can do that. And she kind of she does. It was almost like it was written probably for her because she it's just Drew Barrymore doing her thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Being like super quirky and but she kind of steps it up a little bit in this one because she's never been allowed to properly swear as much.
No, she hasn't actually.
So she's been had to be sort of PC'd on it. So now she can just. Totally
F and
swear.
Jeff.
Yeah, she can F and Jeff. So was there anything else that you...
I went and saw Rings yesterday.
Oh, the horror.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, remakes and things are just a bit boring now. But this wasn't really a remake. It was just sort of rehashing the story and also giving us a bit more detail into the background. Obviously, The Ring, which was the remake of the original Korean, Japanese film or whatever, you watch a videotape and then 7 days later, you die, apparently. You get a phone call after you've watched it saying, 7 days, and you die after that. What they wanted to know was obviously the story behind it. They fleshed it out this time. And, you know, it wasn't particularly scary or particularly gory or anything, but it was a beautifully shot film. There's a lot of close camera and a lot of dolly work, and you know, it was really, really good. In that sense, I would go to the cinema to see it because it was beautiful to watch. But if you're a true horror fan and you want something to scare you, I wouldn't bother.
It's not that horror-y.
No, it's not that horror-y. And if you've seen one Ring film, you've seen them all. So
I didn't even know there were more than one.
Yeah,
because there's the Ring.
There's Ring, the first Japanese one, then there's The Ring, then there's The Ring 2.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I always get confused between the girl in that and the girl from The Grudge.
Me too.
Because they're all just the kind of
They're both basically the same person.
But I do remember finding out that the girl from the original Ring, the actress, she was playing young, but she was actually like 20.
Creepy.
Because they couldn't find an actress to do the role. Yeah. Like a young. Because I don't actually quite agree with when they get really young girls to play like these kind of like horrid. I think
it's a bit like it's fucking up in the head.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I think it's just not the. Let's pretend that you've got a devil inside you, Susie. so they get when they can cast older. So the girl in it, she looks like super super young, but then if you see her in real life, she was like 22 or something.
Okay.
You can correct me on that, people. If that's wrong fact, you can like call in or email in and correct me. But I just remember being surprised how old she was.
It's like the girl from the Orphan. Do you remember that horror?
That was what popped in my head as soon as Johanna said that.
Bad.
That is a good. She was good.
That was
she?
Crazy. Was she a woman or was she a girl? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm thinking probably she was a teenager.
Do you reckon?
She must have been. For her to be able to portray that so creepily and so well, I hope she was older.
I hope so.
Because otherwise that is one demonic child.
Yeah, that movie was good as horror movies go. Well, on the theme of horror movies, Split. Anyone seen it yet?
Yes, I've seen it now.
Oh, you went to see it?
Yeah, it's not as scary as I thought it may be. I don't know. And
I don't
also,
really think you Split, can think this, of it as a horror.
It's not a horror
no,
film.
It's a thriller.
It's
a
psychological thriller,
yeah.
Innit? And also, I don't know. I felt that Split was a bit of a byproduct.
Of
these girls being trapped. The film could have been called Trapped.
It could have. You're absolutely right.
Do you know what
no,
I mean?
You are absolutely right.
Do you know it weren't good enough? Of, I don't know. It was a bit enough about. And I know you do get to see a lot of him, but not enough. I don't know.
You wanted more
I
about think, the psychology
yeah.
of his.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I know
I don't,
what you mean.
I don't know if I thought it could have been deep, but I like that he played all the different characters. I didn't get to see 24 characters. I'm disappointed.
No.
Yeah, I was disappointed. You only get to see...
About seven?
Yeah, you see about seven characters.
That,
right?
Yeah.
And then still a lot of characters.
And then the rest are just on a computer screen.
Yeah.
Right? And she clicks through them, but she don't click through all
no,
of them.
No, she doesn't, does she?
So that pissed... Yeah, all right. Anyway, he acted good.
He did
a
good
well.
Job, yeah.
Good job, but not scary enough. And I wanted more. I think I had too. Maybe my expectations were set too high.
Maybe you thought it was going to horror, but I
thought it was going to be.
I didn't go in. Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I wasn't going to go in thinking it was a horror because I don't do horrors. So I was. I did a horror accidentally last year. I thought I was going to see Suicide Squad, and I was actually going to see The Conjuring 2.
Oh my god, that is so fucking scary! That film.
I know.
Oh my god.
I was pranked by the wall of comedy.
That's
on
not funny.
I know. They told me I was going to a screening of Suicide Squad. I got so excited and I went down.
Oh, those horrible boys.
And then I sat down and I went, why is there a camera watching the audience?
No.
I was like, this is weird. And then it started and I was like, this doesn't look like Suicide Squad. And then, oh my god,
that is a naughty prank.
That's brilliant.
And then, yeah, the results.
Is it, did they film it?
Yeah. And then the results of me screaming my head off went on Facebook.
Yes, I'm gonna go watch that.
It's on the wall of comedy for Conjuring 2. It's brilliant.
Oh, that's so good.
Right, so there's some stuff that's coming out this year, because like this year I was looking up the lineup of the films that are coming out and I'm so excited.
Good stuff.
So obviously Blade Runner,
I know.
I'm really intrigued
about
what is going to happen. It's like, it's got Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford.
What is with this Ryan Gosling? Why is he so popular at the moment?
You have to be a girl to fully appreciate it.
I don't get it.
You need to be female.
I don't even think he's that pretty.
He's not that pretty.
I don't know. I don't get the appeal.
He's just got a coolness to him. He's in Drive.
I think once you've seen that film, it goes to another level. If you think he's pretty anyway, watch that and it's like, oh.
It's like the Michael Bublé effect.
Yeah, I don't get
you. You're not a bubbly fan?
No.
Bublé?
A bubbly fan. But so Blade Runner's coming out. And weirdly, I auditioned for... not a character of Blade Runner. I auditioned for what I was assumed was going to be a stand-in or a robot or something. Because I remember like 2 years ago, I went to this audition and I had to walk like a robot and they filmed every single part of my body because they were trying to find a body match for someone.
Yeah.
Or there was a particular costume or you had to look like a particular thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, obviously I didn't act well enough as a robot.
You weren't stiff enough.
I know. That was a really hard thing for me.
That's worse.
I'm so animated.
Yeah.
So for me to be still and they were just like doing all this stuff, I was just like, I'm moving my eyebrows too much. But I was really intrigued. And it's also got the actress from House of Cards, Robin Wright.
Yeah.
Robin Wright Penn, or Robin Wright, what she is. The main lady from House of Cards.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see what she is in that. Mm-hmm. So Blade Runner is in my like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast is coming out next month. I'm really excited for that.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, no, I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited to see what's going on.
Yeah, was it a film in it?
Yeah, the live action remake. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer.
They just dropped the trailer.
Shit.
Really, I haven't watched the trailer yet.
It did get me a bit excited,
I was buzzing when I watched that.
My initial fault is, can you stop it now?
No, not this one.
I'll watch
this
the trailer.
One, see, this one, because I think they went off with the last one. This one has got Johnny Depp. It's
Orlando Bloom.
Orlando
back.
Bloom.
Yeah, yes.
It's got Keira Knightley. It's got the original.
That's what I'm saying.
There we go.
Because I love the original Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I think I saw that film 3 times in the cinema when it came out.
This thing looked wicked.
Yeah. I was so excited.
I can't wait for that.
So that's what's coming out. And also I saw a thing of I haven't even seen the trailer, but I just saw a poster for The Mummy and Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that
is. That's another one. I don't know how I feel about that.
But
The
it's
Mummy,
coming out.
Another one. No, la, la.
No,
right.
I
hope everyone has a great weekend. We're coming into land. Tonight, me and Lucy were off to go and see John Wick 2.
Oh, yeah. And also, yeah, I was meant to do my Kung Fu review. I swear I'm going to do it next
week. Again. Every week, mate.
No,
right.
I swear. I've got it here, yeah. It's going to happen.
Okay.
We can discuss further on my Instagram as well.
Oh, right. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Remember to go to the Twitter and retweet to be in the competition. We'll be announcing the winners next week. Have a brilliant time. Brilliant day.
Bye.
Weekend.
Bye. Bye. Bye.